But you can't tell because every night he's giving it his all. But the thing, the key is that he said, you know what? I made a conscious decision to let it go. And we have to do the same thing sometimes, let these thoughts go that are just going through our minds on a daily basis. You know, thoughts are paralyzing us. So my title was very, I think, ideal for what we're going through in this series. And I got the title from a group called Heat Wave. And the young folks don't have no idea who Heat Wave is. 1978, yeah. Who was Heat Wave? That's when you were only a thought in God's mind then. See, we were around then. And that song has some lyrics. You know, every song got things called a hook. It got to grab you in, right? The hook for Heat Wave song simply is this. It says, mind-blowing decisions causes head-on collisions. Then he repeats it again. Mind-blowing decisions causes head-on collisions. So I talk to myself. I've given plenty of time to all these decisions lying in my mind. That's what you have to do. David said in his book, in Samuel, he said that I have to encourage myself on a daily basis because you know what? Your mind will have a barrage going against it. Turn in your Bibles. Go to Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. And I really want your minds to be refreshed today and not be inundated by thoughts that really don't mean a whole lot. Psalms 23. I'm sorry. I said Psalms or Proverbs? When you get home tonight, read Psalms. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verse 7. It says simply this. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As you think about things in your heart, that's who you are. So if your parents said, boy, you ain't going to be nothing, that thought is going to determine who you are because that thought is in your mind. As a man thinketh as he is, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. You got to change the way you think about things. And thoughts come from all different places. So we're going to talk about the origin of thoughts. And there's three different origins of thoughts. The first origin is from our five senses. Everything you've learned since you were born into the world, everything your mind has learned has entered in through your five senses. Sound comes to your ears. Sight, what do you see? Do you see yourself unemployed and you see these bills piling up? Touch, smell, and my favorite one, taste. So that got me in trouble with six slices of cake, you know. My taste buds kicked in. So all those senses God gave us to touch humanity with. But if we don't utilize them correctly, the enemy will use those senses against us. So those things are used for our present environment or were stored in our subconscious mind. Go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. And we're going to turn. I want you to put your eyes on it. I know you probably know the scripture by heart, but I want you to lay your eyes on it. Because I want you to meditate. I want you to ponder on what we're talking about here in God's word. So in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, it simply reads this, brethren, I count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Doing what? Forgetting those things which are behind, When you got redeemed, you ought to start putting those things that you learned prior to redemption behind you. Because you can be born again and still operate like a person who's not born again because of your mind. The barrage of thoughts that come to your mind from our past. But God has a solution for every problem. Amen? And he's telling you what to do. Take those thoughts and put those thoughts behind you. They'll come back up, I guarantee you. But you got to learn how to put those thoughts under subjection. You have to control your thought life. And that's one thing God's not going to do for you. You can pray all night and day. You can fast and pray even. But you have to control your thought life. You see, when God said you're born again, guess what's born again? Only your spirit was born again. Your soul is still the same old soul. So what you have to do is start changing that soul to operate under the new man. So the first thoughts come is from where? Our five senses. The second source it comes from is old Slewfoot himself, Satan. Satan can bombard your mind with thoughts. And I put this down. If Satan controls your thinking, he'll gain control over your life. If you don't believe me, and he comes to all of us. Let's prove it. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Put your eyes on it. I want you to meditate on these scriptures today. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. When you got to say amen. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be what? Tempted of the devil. And we have fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to do what? Be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by what? Bread alone. And then he came to him again. And then he came to him again. Because why? Satan is relentless in his attack on your mind. He's trying to penetrate your mind to tell you something opposite of what God has said about you. And once he does, he knows he can control your mind. He'll control your body as well, too. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And don't think it's strange, the thoughts that come to your mind. Don't think that that thought you had was a strange thought, because according to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9 says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same what? Afflictions or attacks are accomplished in your brethren in the world. The same thing you're going through, your brethren are going through the same thing, because you know why? Satan uses the same schemes on all of us. Nothing new. The thing about it, though, Satan can't read your mind. He's not omniscient. But he can watch you respond to a thought he sends to your mind. So we have to do what? We have to guard our minds. We have to shield our minds from the onslaught of the enemy. And God won't do that. God did give us a protection to put on our minds. And he said, do what? Put the helmet of salvation on. Why? Because the enemy's every day throwing darts at your mind. Every day he's saying you won't make it. Every day he'll put a little bit of sickness on you if he can, and he'll let that thought run rampant in your mind, and next thing you know, he got you. You have to resist the enemy. You have to do what? First, submit yourself to God, resist the enemy, and then he'll flee. But according to the scripture, it says that he will only leave you for a season. He'll come back. Let me prove to you. Go to Matthew. Go to Matthew. Chapter 12. And I know I'm just giving you a lot of scripture, but I want your mind to be intoxicated by God's word. If your mind is filled with God's word, you'll have a reply to anything the enemy brings your way. You see, the way God has designed us, he's not going to speak to your mind. God's not. You know why? Because your mind can't handle God's thoughts. But God will speak to your spirit. And if your spirit, if your mind is right, it'll activate what God spoke to you in the spirit. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. Watch this. You got it? It says, when an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he does what? He walks through dry places. And he's trying to do what? He's trying to find some shelter, seeking rest. And he findeth none. Then he says, you know what? I'm going to return to the house I came from. He's relentless. And this is what happens. He says, I found the house. It was empty, swept, and garnished. Sound like a believer to me. Gave life to the Lord, right? But the problem with that is this. It was empty, swept, and garnished. And it shouldn't be. It should be filled with the Holy Spirit, God's word, and your prayer life. But he's going to come to those who ain't filled with God's word. You know, he's looking for it to be empty. He's looking for it to be swept. But our job is to fill up our minds with God's word. Fill up our house with who God says we are. So when he comes in, we'll do just like Jesus did. It is written. Now you can't say that if you don't know what's written. You can't say it's written if you don't know what's written. And to find out what's written, you got to spend some time in what is written. See, God's not going to do a forced entry on you. He's not going to force you to get into his word. You know, there are people starving for the word of God. You know, like people who were starving for rain and we got it. People are starving for the word of God, and we got the word in America, but we don't get in the word and allow the word to get into us. So then we go to our brother, pray for me. What's going on, bro? Oh, that's in the word. But if you stay in the word, you counterattack everything the enemy brings your way. That's part of that weaponry that God has given us. The sword of the spirit, which is what? The word of God. So when he comes in like a flood, guess what? The standard, because the standard is your word against what he's trying to bring to you. But if you have no word, guess what? You're going to be defeated. A defeated Christian. Yeah, you're a Christian, but you're a defeated Christian. And God has not designed us to walk in defeat. He has given us, the believing ones, all power over the enemy. And he said, by nothing, nothing shall any means hurt us, but you got to know what the word says. You know, November the 14th, I was on an attack, so I couldn't make it to church that Sunday. And it was just a simple thing. But boy, when it hit me, my mind was gone. I was like, in my mind, I didn't tell my wife this, in my mind, insurance policy paid up, babe. I'm going to be with Jesus. Because it got so severe, I almost passed out. But it wasn't that bad. Once you got me to emergency and took care of it, I was fine. But see how far I went down the road on that one little thought? And that's how Satan gets us off course. By putting thoughts in our mind. Satan cannot do anything to you unless you allow him to. You have to resist him. And you resist him with one thing alone, and that's the word of God. You know what you should be doing? We should be attacking the enemy. We should be. We should be going into his camp and taking back stuff that he took from us. We should redeem the time, make full use of every opportunity that God has given us. And that's what the Ghost Series is all about. We're going into his camp, let them know, you know what? You're defeated, and we know you're defeated. But we got to go there being fully aware who we are in Christ Jesus. So when they resist us, they're not resisting us, they're resisting him. And just because they resisted him, we can go to the next person. Don't ever give up. Satan wants you to give up. Give up on the lost out there. Give up on your own life. That's what Satan wants you to do. But you have to understand that, no, I'm more than a conqueror. No device against me can prosper, because I know what the word of God says in my own personal life. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible says this very clearly, that Satan has blinded the minds of them, so they can't understand, or they cannot see the hope of the gospel that can bring deliverance to them. So you go out sharing the gospel to them, and they're resisting you, because why? Satan has already blinded their minds. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to show you exactly how Satan works against the unbeliever, but also he's trying to do the same thing to the believing one. Ephesians chapter 2. When you get there, say amen. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, power of the air, the spirit that now does what? It worketh in the children of disobedience." So what does he do? He tells children of disobedience by blinding their minds that, you know what? That Christian stuff don't work. So now they won't receive it, because why? He put a blinder on their minds so they can't receive what God is saying. So he tries to do the same thing for us. When God told us that I'll supply all your needs according to my riches in glory, and you're not making it, he's trying to tell you, guess what? God's lying to you. You got to do what? Counterattack what the enemy is saying to you. And if you don't do it, guess what? You're going to fall victim to his words. Your mind has to be renewed. It's a mandate that your mind's renewed. Let's go to John chapter 13. And you guys know this story very clearly. Before the Passover supper, Jesus gathered around with his disciples. And he got there, and all 12 were right there with him. But something happened that was very interesting at the dinner table. One of those guys got there and had an encounter with the enemy before he got there. John 13, 1. "Now, before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he would depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end." Now watch this. "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the where? The heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to do what? Betray him." So thoughts come from what? Our five senses, and thoughts can come from the enemy. Now, unfortunately, now keep in mind, even though Judas denied Christ, he wasn't the only disciple that denied Christ. So did Peter. Yeah, I missed that one. The only problem was that with Judas was that he got Judas isolated by himself and then made him kill himself. You see what happens there? First he gave him a thought, saying, you know what? Deny the master. Turn him over. And then when he did, Satan's still talking to him. Then he went out and said, there's no hope for me, because that's what Satan wants you to believe. There's no hope for you. And guess what he did then? He killed himself. And you got to think about it. Suicide, really, a person don't really want to die. They want to get out of that problem or situation. But what the enemy can do, though, he'll trick you believing that this is a great escape. And that's what he did with Judas. He said, Judas, guess what? Betray him. And he did that. Then he said, Judas, they don't care about you. Isolate yourself. And he did that. So there was no one to encourage him. But see, when Peter denied the master, he went back to his disciples, and they were encouraging him, and he kept going on. And I always say, an isolated Christian is a bad Christian, because you know why? Satan is going to throw a barrage of thoughts in your mind. They don't love you down at that church. They can care less about you. They ain't called you. They don't care about me. Yeah, you right, Satan. And now you're agreeing with the enemy. Right? You're touching the green with the wrong person. You know? You need to agree with what God's word says, not what the enemy's saying. So we got to do what? Forget things which are behind us, and then we have to do what to the enemy? Resist him. The first thing is submit ourselves to God, resist the enemy. It says he'll flee. But you got to keep in mind, Satan will not give up on the believing one. He knows your potential more better than you do. He does. He knows, you know why he knows it? He knows what Jesus did to him. And that same spirit lives in you. Jesus said this, greater works than you do, because I go to my Father. So Satan knows that if that person ever get a hold of God's word the way God designed him to, they are a threat to me. So guess what? He always tries to get you in the beginning, and you need to do something too in the beginning. Take that thought down immediately. Why would you allow a thought that's negative to fester in your mind like that? How could you allow that to happen to you? Because why? It says he'll come because that house has been swept, it's empty, and it's garnished. You weren't taking time to fill up on God's word. Now, let me ask you a question, mainly to the ladies. When you drive your car, right? I know most of y'all go down to that red signal, right? And then you pull into a station to fill it up, right? You get to the last minute to fill it up. We can't do that, saints. We can't wait till the last minute or the last thought to fill up on our minds. It can be too late. You're going to run out of gas somewhere down the line. You need to fill up on a daily. The Bible says be filled with the Spirit. That's not a one-time thing. You know, you can't go to Costco and fill up one time with your gas. You know, I try that. I'll be out of gas on the side of the road calling LaJuan. LaJuan, guess what? I'm empty again, bro. Come fill me. Help me out. No. Continually fill with God's word. Continually fill with God's spirit. So when he comes in, you'll resist him the way God wants you to resist him. You know, I learned something very powerful through a story, and I'm going to give it to you in a minute, that we live in two worlds. We live in a visible world where I see you, how lovely you look always, my sister. And we live in a invisible world. And most folks think because you can't see Satan, he don't exist, but he's in that invisible world. In that invisible world, he's throwing nothing but darts your way. Every day in that invisible world. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 6. And I'm going to show you exactly what God wants you to see about that invisible world. 2 Kings chapter 6. And most of you guys know the story. When you're being attacked, there are forces behind the scene working against you constantly. But again, there's also forces on your side working for you. The Bible declares very clearly that the angels of God have been doing what? They're sent forth to be doing what? Ministering spirit for those who are called to salvation. But you don't see them. In this room, there's angels all around us. 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning in verse 13. And he said, go spy where he is, and I might send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both of horses and chariots. So he's in the physical realm now. He's in the visible realm. He sees things happening. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Because he saw nothing but horses and chariots coming against them, him and his master. But look what Elijah did. Elijah spent time with God and tapped into the spirit realm. It says, Elijah prayed, first of all. And he said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. Open his eyes that he may see. See, God needs to open your eyes so you can see that it's the enemy attacking your mind. You see, you think that sometimes I'm just losing my mind. I'm forgiven. No. There's someone behind the scenes attacking your mind. So you ask God to show me these things. God will show you. And then he always got a prescribed plan for your situation. It's tailor-made for you. You ever had a tailor-made suit put on? If it's nobody but you. You can try to give it away if you want to, you know, because somebody got broad shoulders. You say, oh, I wore a 42 long.
put that on that same guy, it's like down here somewhere. You know why? Because it's tailor-made for you. So God has a tailor-made, this is your word for the day. God has a tailor-made blessing with your name on it. It won't fit nobody else because it wasn't designed for anybody. It was designed for you. That's a tailor-made word for you today, that God has a tailor-made blessing for you. Now, your word is what this for you. You got to claim that tailor-made word. You got to believe that. Amen? The third source that bombard our minds come from God. Now, God can put thoughts into your heart and your mind by his Holy Spirit. The main difference between thoughts that come from our five senses and that come from God is this: that God deals with your spirit. God speaks directly to your spirit man, not your soul man. Your soul man can't take God, really. But you have to get that soul man line with that spirit man. And if you don't, guess what's going to happen? That soul man is going to rule and dominate the spirit man. You ever see a Christian and you're like, he just came from church, but he cussed me out. You know why? He's a believer, but he's a soul man. He's still operating from his mindset. He's not operating from his spirit man. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and this is something I think you guys should do on a daily basis, because I do it every day. And I quote this word, that same scripture, over and over and over again until it becomes part of who I am. You there? It says simply this: I beseech thee, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? Present your bodies. Now, part of your body is what? Your mind. It says, present your bodies as what? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Next verse says, this is the key one: and be not conformed to this world. That means the customs, the ideologies, the systems. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by renewing your mind, that you can prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for your life. Well, let's look at this one then. Sickness, disease. Is that God's will for your life? So therefore, now you got to renew your mind and say, nope, by his stripes, I'm healed. And you got to declare it until your body lines up to what God's word is saying about you. I'm broke. Is that God's will for your life? No, the Bible says very clearly, I pray, I wish above all things may prosper and be in health. That's God's word. So my mind is being barraged by what the enemy's saying. I'm going to give the enemy what God's word said. And then guess what's going to happen pretty soon? Manifestation. If you just stick to God's word, it's going to manifest itself. It'll come to pass. But your faith has to attach itself to God's word, and then you'll see manifestation. Let me explain something to you real carefully. You are a tripart individual. That means you have a spirit, and I said spirit first. You have a soul, and of course you see this body. Spirit, soul, and body. Now there's three elements in your spirit. That's your conscience, intuition, and communion. That's how you fellowship with God. You do communion, worship, and praise. The problem is that soul, which is not born again, and that is your mind, your will, your volition, and the other part is your emotions. You're my feelings, man. That's my emotions. Now, emotions are a good thing if you use it the right way. If you use emotions because of compassion, that's why God designed the emotions, to use it in the right way. But the tough part and that soul part is that mind again. You got to get that mind renewed. And if you don't, we got problems. I'm going to use an example for a second. Can I get you four to stand right here for me? You four, right here. And I'm going to give you a demonstration on how things should work and how things shouldn't work. So I'm going to have Tracy be the Holy Spirit, and he's going to stand back there. I'm going to let Brother Lawan be the born-again spirit. I'm going to let Sister Dorothy be the soul. And, of course, my favorite sister over here is Sister Regina going to be the body. So now I'm reading my word, hopefully, when? How often? Every day. Every day. So God the Father is going to talk to the Holy Spirit down here. And the Holy Spirit, because he's so gentle and kind, he ain't going to yell at the Spirit, the born-again Spirit. He's going to tell the born-again Spirit what to do. And I hope my soul, mine is renewed. But if my mind ain't renewed, I'm going to go over here and do my own thing, and guess what's going to happen? This body is going to follow that soul. And guess what? Now I'm out here on Satan territory because I didn't follow the Holy Spirit and my born-again spirit. My mind was not renewed the way God told me to renew my mind, so therefore now my flesh is going places it should not go. It's going into different places that it shouldn't go. It leads me down the wrong pathway. But then I say, Father, forgive me. I'm going to get back in line with your word. And I'm going to get back in line with your word, so now my flesh got to get back in line too. So now God give me a new word. And now that word hits the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to the soul, my spirit. My spirit speaks to my soul, and my soul leads my body. My all truth is going my way now. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No weapon formed against you can prosper. Every idle conversation is brought to naught, but now I'm walking victorious. Because why? I was led by my spirit man, not my soul man. Thank you guys very much. Have a seat. And that is the way God designed the believer to operate. And once we begin to operate that way, it's nothing but victory. So when he said go, we're going to go. And we're going to go in line to what the Holy Spirit has told us to do. We're going to do it, saints. There's a couple things, though, you got to be very aware of. And I want you guys to take the scripture down. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 3. You have to begin to know God's voice. You have to get to understand, what does God's voice sound like to you? It only comes one way, and that's through intimacy. You have to develop time with God. It says that my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they won't follow. So when you hear a word from somebody, line it up with the manual. Now, I want to say something that's very, I don't know if people realize this, but Satan knows the manual too. He knows the manual pretty well. And I'm going to prove it to you. I want you to go to two places in your scripture. We're going to close down after this. Go to Psalms 91. And if you got a good Bible, you have a ribbon somewhere. And go to Matthew 4. Psalms 91. And Matthew chapter 4. And I'm going to show you how Satan operates against the believing one when we're not really studying to show ourselves approved unto God. We just get the word and we just read it real quick and go back to sleep. You can't do that. Everyone there? Let's read the original text first, because keep in mind, the old was God's plan. So let's go to Psalms 91. You there? And go to verse number 11. It simply says this: For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Got it? That in your mind? I hope so. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Now, Satan, he always will quote the word back to you, but he'll add something to it. You ready? Verse 6. And saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. Look who's talking. Look who's talking about God's word. Oh, say this though. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee. Now watch this. Here go to add on. And in their hands they shall bear thee up. Here it is right here. Lest at any time. That's not in the original text. See, what he's trying to do is say, you know what? Just jump off. Your angels will catch you. See, he added to the original text. And the original text doesn't say at any time. It does not say that in the original time. So you have to know what God's word says for you. Because Satan will come back and try to bombard your mind with God's word. He tried to counterattack your attack on him by using God's word if you don't know it. I want to say this in closing, my last closing. Go to Daniel chapter 7. And if you know Daniel, Daniel's a book of prophecy about things that's going to happen in the latter times. But Satan knows also that his time is short. So what he's trying to do now is speed things up a little bit. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. When you get there, say amen. Now, this is during the tribulation period, but I believe also Satan is starting to do these things even now. And he just speaks great words against the Most High God. Listen to this scripture right here. Listen to this verse. And he shall wear out the saints of the Most High God. That word translated, wear out the saints of the Most High God, it means physical fatigue. So how does he do that? Because he put thoughts in your mind and he wears you down. Think about it. Go home and do an experiment on yourself. Say, I'm tired all day long. I'm tired. I'm tired. Oh, I'm tired. Oh, Lord, I'm tired. Oh, my feet hurt. I'm tired. Next thing you know, you will be tired. You will be tired. Oh, I don't feel good. Oh, Lord, I don't feel good. Jesus, oh, I don't feel good. Lord Jesus, I don't feel, oh, Lord Jesus, I don't feel good. So guess what? Not going to feel good. But that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to wear us out, saints, with emotional fatigue, because wherever the mind go, the body going to follow. So I want you guys to practice God's word. Practice. You got to practice. You know, I love golf. Oh, my God, I love golf. I do. I really do. But this time of the year, I won't play any golf. You know why? It's bad weather. So that means for, I don't know, 3 or 4 months, I haven't played golf. So now all of a sudden, someone calls me up and says, hey, let's go play golf. I haven't practiced. Swing on me all off, ball going everywhere, except for where it should go. Because why? I didn't practice. But after I go to the range a couple of times and practice, call me again and see what happened to you. You know why? I've practiced. And the more you practice this word, the more it becomes a living reality for you. But you got to practice. People ask Stephon Curry all the time, man, how do you do that? How do you shoot all day and just, it's automatic for him. You know why? Because he's in the gym practicing. He's there when they go home. He's just there sitting there practicing. You got to practice, saints. You have to practice what you believe. You can't take a day off. I know you want too bad, but you can't. You know why? He doesn't. The Bible says that he's walking to and from. He's going to and from throughout the entire earth. He's sick. He's looking for, oh, I can't get her. Oh, can't get her. He's seeking. Can't get, oh, man, I can't get her. Oh, I got one. I got one. You know why? He's seeking whom he may devour. He's not devouring everybody because why? Some folks are practicing. Some people are practicing God's word, so he's not getting them, but he's seeking whom he may devour. He's seeking. Don't let him find you. Don't let him find you. Amen. Stick to God's word, saints. There's a slogan. We're going to close now. There's a slogan in the College Negro College Fund, and it always says, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. It really is. The mind is a bad thing to waste. Don't let Satan waste your mind. Use your mind for what God intended it for. Use it for the glory of God. But get into here, the manual. You know, modern technology is, we should never get lost anymore driving somewhere. We should never get lost. We do something wrong. We got GPSs all over the place, right? And that GPS says, go, turn right, turn left. But you got to trust the voice of that GPS. Sometimes it seems like she just taking you to, on a scenic route somewhere to nowhere. And that's the way the Holy Spirit is, saints. He's talking to you on a daily basis. And today, he might be talking to you because you never allowed him to be your Lord. He's very quiet the way he talks. He don't yell and scream, so you might miss him. So what he's simply saying right now is this, that I love you. So much so that I died for you. And I did it while you were still messed up. So you can't earn it. It's a free gift. And we got the holiday season coming up. I guarantee none of you guys are going to deny any free gifts. So my statement to you today, don't deny the gift that gives you eternal life. If you're here today, you never accepted that free gift, it's so easy. Oh, it's so easy. When I was a kid, I grew up in church. I thought it was so hard. I thought I had to do this, do that. I was wrong about all that stuff. All I had to do was do this. Say yes to Jesus. He did it all. If you're here today and you never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, today's an opportunity for you. So I want you to just close your eyes just for 1 minute. 1 minute, that's all it takes. See, I can't convince you. But the Holy Spirit, he'll convince you. He'll speak to your heart just like that. Say, you know what? You need to be saved. So right now, Holy Spirit, I just yield to you. You have preeminence. You speak to their hearts. Let them know where they're at with you. If they've not made you Lord, I pray you speak to them. Let them know how much you love them, how much you care for them, how much you want them to be in the kingdom. If you're here today and you never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, just raise your hand right now. Amen. If you're here today and you've made him Lord, but somehow you just slid away, you're just kind of vacillating. One day you're strong with the Lord, next day you're out. You know, you're here today. I want you to raise your hand. We want to show you in the Word what God's Word says about that and how to restore you. Amen. Praise you, Lord. And the last thing is that if God has spoken to you about membership or any personal needs, and you believe the Holy Spirit has spoken to you about joining this body of believers, because it's essential that you have a place to go to learn God's Word. So if you have any personal needs that we can pray for you, our team to my right here, they're here to pray with you and to encourage you, let you know that you can make it. You can, no matter what face, you can make it. And the last thing real quickly is that if God spoke to your heart about joining this ministry, you can raise your hands right now. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Come on, praise God. The Bible says, you know, there's rejoicing. You ought to rejoice when someone becomes part of this body of believers. Amen? We got work to do. We need many in this body. Thank God for the brother. You can come up right now. And they'll show you in the Word. Come on up. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Come on up.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we're going to dismiss in a minute. Praise God for my brother.
Yeah.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. God bless you, brother. God bless you. Amen. Well, you know, it's kind of unique about how the body of Christ works. Each member has been set there by the Lord.
Yes.
That's a divine act. God sent him to this body of believers because God has work to do for all of us. Amen. Is God good, saints? Let's pray. We're going to dismiss. Glory to God. Father, I thank you for this wonderful body of believing ones. Yeah, we know now that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but you've come to give us life and life more abundantly. Today, we make an active choice, God, to live out our life in abundant fashion, Father God. Being